Llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
The Salad. Fun, informative, interactive radio.
Welcome to the program. 1, 2, 3, oh, welcome to the salad. Thanks for listening today. I really have a lot of things that I would like to say. It's a fun, informative radio show featuring lots of things you really want to know. So it's, yeah, it's time to get on with the show. Woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah, it's time to get on with the show. It's salad time. Now then, salad listeners, yes, welcome to the program. Now we have a fun-packed program lined up for you. Of course, we have salad news bits coming up now, a couple of, you know, juicy news items for you. What else do we have on the show? We also have Grammar Points. Alan Parsons will be here, our grammar expert, you know, with another master class in English grammar. I think I know what we're going to do, but I'll leave it as a surprise. Do you like surprises?
Surprise!
Grammatical ones too?
Yes!
Okay, we'll leave it as a surprise then. And we have question time. We shall be putting your interrogative skills to the test. Okay, salad listeners. So Alan's going to be here for the second part of the program on Grammar Point and question time, so don't miss that. But first of all, I have a conundrum for you. Okay, a little example to keep you, keep you guessing. You know, a little brain teaser for you. So here we go. Most of these, they need to try and make sense. They should do. Okay? Now, so here's our first conundrum. I just found blank that my boss had been laid blank. What do you think? So I just found blank that my boss had been laid blank. What do you think? So they're both prepositions, okay? Very important to know, they're both prepositions. You know, try and find some prepositions that make sense in this context. You know, there should be something logical. So one more time, I just found blank that my boss had been laid blank. We should reveal the answer at the end of the first half of the program. We'll break it down, analyze it a little bit. But right now, it's time for Salad News Bits. Now then, salad listeners, here comes our first headline. A Hackney man, first to receive 3D printed prosthetic eye. So a Hackney man, Hackney is an area in London. You could say a man from London, if you like, or a London man. Specifically, he's from Hackney. So a Hackney man, first to receive a 3D printed prosthetic eye. Wow. So we hear a lot about 3D printers these days, impresoras 3D. But this is a 3D printed prosthetic eye. No, que un ojo prostético, as we would say, prostético, a prosthetic eye, we would say. So a Hackney man is the first to receive a 3D printed prosthetic eye. Incredible! Incredible breakthroughs and achievements these days we're hearing about. So let's go over live to London to find out more about this Hackney man who's been the first to receive a 3D printed prosthetic eye. So we're going over live to a hospital, I believe. Let me see. I think it's Moorfields Eye Hospital. Yes, I believe it is. In London, we have Simon Hallow there, of course.
Yes, that's right, Dave. A hospital patient will become the first person in the world to have a 3D printed prosthetic eye.
So he'll be the first person in the world to receive a 3D printed prosthetic eye. Imagine being the first person ever.
Yes, so Steve from Hackney, East London, will receive the eye on Thursday at Moorfields Eye Hospital in London. And I'm in the hospital now. Now, it's hoped the eye will be more realistic than a traditional acrylic prosthetic eye.
I see. So, you know, prosthetic eyes exist, of course. So, normally the traditional prosthetic eye is acrylic, but this is a 3D printed eye, so the hope is it's more realistic.
Yes, that's right. It will also cut the time it takes for patients to be fitted with their prosthetics in half, from 6 weeks to 3.
Oh, really? So it used to take 6 weeks to have your prosthetic eye fitted, but it's going to cut that time in half. And it's only going to take 3 weeks as opposed to 6, so that's great.
Yes, I spoke to Steve, who said, "I've needed a prosthetic since I was 20, and I've always felt self-conscious about it," he said. And he's in his 40s now, so really, he's needed one really for the last... Well, he needed one since he was 20, but, he's been waiting for a decent one for 20 years. Now, he said, "When I leave home, I often take a second glance in the mirror, and I've not liked what I've seen."
Okay. So whenever he leaves home, he takes a second glance or second look in the mirror, and he's never really liked what he's seen with his, acrylic prosthetic eye.
But this new eye looks fantastic, he told me. And being based on 3D digital printed technology, it's only going to get better and better. So, well, for a traditional prosthetic, a patient has to undergo a 2-hour session to mold their eye socket before the prosthesis is fitted and then painted.
I see, so it's quite a lengthy process. So normally a patient has to undergo a 2-hour session to mold their eye socket, that's el hueco, your eye socket, before the prosthesis is fitted and then painted. So it's a long, painstaking process.
The 3D printed prosthetic should reduce the manufacturing process to 2 to 3 weeks, with the initial appointment taking just half an hour, according to the hospital. Now, I spoke to one of the consultants there, an ophthalmologist at Moorfields Eye Hospital, who told me that they're very excited at the potential of a fully digital prosthetic eye. So, can you imagine the potential there, Dave? So he said, "We hope the forthcoming clinical trial will provide us with robust evidence about the value of this new technology, showing what a difference it makes for our patients." So it clearly has the potential to reduce waiting lists.
Now, yeah, that's often the case. If you're waiting for an operation like this, or a prosthetic eye in this case, so waiting lists can be very long, listas de espera. So you have to wait until it's your turn, and then it takes quite a long time to fit them. But, yes, so in this case, they're very excited at the potential of a fully digital prosthetic eye. What's going to be possible in the future, salad listeners? Okay, a fully digital prosthetic eye, transhuman. They talk about this because you'll have a fully digital prosthetic eye. So, you know, things are advancing very quickly.
Yes, they certainly are. So, you know, I've been and I've seen how they do it today, and it's quite amazing. So, yes, a Hackney man becomes the first to receive a 3D printed prosthetic eye.
Yes, now I've seen a couple of pictures that Simon sent over, you know, of these prosthetic eyes. They look very, very realistic. And more importantly, they cut down waiting time and the time it takes to get them, you know, implanted. Okay, Salad listeners, amazing things. You heard them here on Salad News Bits. Now then, yes, an amazing story. We have another headline coming up, I believe, Salad listeners, another news item. It's coming through now. Are you ready? Here it comes. Antique rifle thief gets a day in jail decades on from his museum heists. So we talk about antique rifles. So, rifles antiguos. In this case, it's un ladrón de rifles antiguos. An antique rifle thief gets a day in jail. So, one day in jail or one day in prison, decades on or decades after his museum heists. Now, a heist is un robo. It could be from a museum or a bank, something like that. A heist. Okay? So, there's our headline. An antique rifle thief gets a day in jail decades on from his museum heists. Okay, we have, let me just check, we have Hal Leonard. I believe he's in Pennsylvania. Yeah, do we have a connection? Yes, we do. Hal, can you hear me? Are you in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, hi, Dave. Yeah, that's right. I can hear you clear as a bell. Yeah, I'm in Pennsylvania. After a crime spree spanning three decades, antique thief Thomas Gavin had just one explanation for his museum heists. He likes collecting old things.
Okay, so it's a career, if you like, or a crime spree. So a crime spree is when there are a lot of crimes connected. It's a spree. In this case, his crime spree has spanned three decades, or has lasted three decades. And he had one explanation for his museum heists, or his museum thefts, robos. His explanation was, he likes collecting old things. That's his explanation. Well, that makes sense. That's why he's stolen so many, because he likes doing it.
Yeah, that's right. So Mr. Gavin, who's now 78, has been sentenced to one day in jail after being caught trying to sell a rare rifle dating back to the U.S. Revolutionary War.
So no one had caught him before. He's been doing this for over three decades. But he was caught trying to sell a rare rifle dating back to the U.S. Revolutionary War. That's often the case. People don't always get caught in the acts. Or red-handed, con las manos en la masa, red-handed. They often get caught trying to sell or resell their stolen items.
Yeah, that's right. So when questioned, he admitted to dozens of other robberies in the 1960s and 1970s and apologized for the trouble. Now, prosecutors on Tuesday said justice finally caught up, but four decades later.
Yeah, so justice has caught up with him. La alcanzado. La justicia la alcanzado. Justice has finally caught up with him four decades later.
Mr. Gavin pleaded guilty of guilty to disposal of an object of cultural heritage stolen from a museum. Now, as part of a plea, Mr. Gavin admitted that he stole an antique rifle crafted by a master gunsmith in 1775 from the Valley Forge State Park Museum in 1971. Now, this particular rifle, the Christian Orter rifle, is one of only two such rifles known to have survived, with its original flint mechanism that bears the marker's name, place, and date of manufacture. And it's worth more than $175,000. That's £131,000. Now, the FBI found Mr. Gavin after he attempted to sell the rifle and other stolen items to an antiques dealer.
Ah, yes. So he collects antique rifles. Now, this one, so it's from is a rifle crafted by a master gunsmith in 1775, worth $175,000. But more than that, you know, it's priceless, really, because it's only one of two such rifles known to have survived with its original flint mechanism. And obviously, when you try and sell something like that, not everyone has the money to buy that, so the police are looking.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, it's, quite difficult to sell, you know, and you can, get a lot of attention when you try and sell something like that. Now, so he was caught by the FBI trying to sell the rifle. Now, the dealer later told suppliers he realized the rifle was stolen after seeing it mentioned in a 1980 book written by an antique rifle expert. So, the U.S. attorney told me that stealing an artifact from a museum, literally a piece of American history, is a serious federal offense. You know, so after four decades, justice finally caught up with this defendant.
Yeah, so it's cultural heritage. Okay, patrimonio. That's right, cultural, patrimonio cultural. Cultural heritage, a rifle like that. There are only two survived from the American Civil War. So, yes, justice has finally caught up with him. But has it? If he only spent a day in prison, how has justice finally caught up with him?
In addition to his day behind bars, Mr. Gavin was sentenced to 3 years of supervised release, including 1 year of home confinement, as well as a $25,000 fine and a $23,385 restitution payment.
Ah, well, I suppose justice has caught up with him. So he spent 1 day in prison. Okay. But in addition, además, in addition, he was sentenced to 3 years of supervised release. So including 1 year of home confinement. To stay at home for a year. And some hefty fines, $25,000, also over $22,000 restitution payment. So I guess, what do you think, salad listeners? Is that enough justice for stealing cultural heritage?
When questioned by the FBI, Mr. Gavin admitted to stealing the rifle, in addition to other antique 18th and 19th century rifles from museums across the state. Now, the judge this week, however, noted that the statute of limitations on many of the thefts had already passed. So in other cases, the stolen items are worth less than the $5,000 threshold needed for federal charges.
Ah, okay, so items have to be worth over $5,000. That's the threshold, el umbral, the threshold or the limit that's needed for federal charges. So he couldn't be charged for all his thefts because not all the rifles were worth so much money.
So in court he did not, explain his thefts, but expressed his remorse. "I'm sorry for all this trouble," Mr. Gavin said. "You know, I never really thought about it back then, and now it's all come out." So his lawyer characterized Mr. Gavin as a collector of all manner of old things, noting his barn is jammed full of antique goods.
So he has a barn, un granero. Okay, and he likes to collect. When I say, well, he steals them and collects them, so he likes to steal, which is his way of collecting. And so he has a barn, un granero, a barn full, or jammed full, petalo, jammed full, we can say, of antique goods. And yeah, that's what his lawyer was saying about him.
Yes, so whether he's considered a collector or a hoarder, profit was not his motivation. So, you know, in my experience prosecuting these types of cases, the prosecutor said, oftentimes it's that these individuals just want to have, you know, the thing. Their obsession is that they want to have them, and so they take them. And there's not much more to it than that. So, yeah, well, is he a collector or a hoarder or a thief?
Now, a collector, of course, if you're a hoarder, you have so many things, a lot of things, you don't want to give anything away. You collect, it's almost an obsession. So I would say he probably is a collector, a hoarder, and a thief. And he's finally being caught, but trying to sell, that's how they caught him.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, antique rifle thief gets a day in jail, decades on from his museum heists. So, yeah, finally, four decades later... justice has caught up with him. So, yeah, here from Pennsylvania, Dave, back to the studio.
Well, what do you think, salad listeners? Is that justice enough for this guy? He stole cultural heritage, but, you know, he wanted to have them, and he just collected them. But, you know, I don't think so, because it's nice for people to, if you go to a museum, you know, the American Civil War Museum, you want to see these things, and he stole them. Because he wanted to have it. You know, it's an obsession. And then he put it in his barn, in su granero, in his barn, with many other items. What do you think? It doesn't make any sense, but I suppose, kind of, you know, obsessions don't always make that much sense, salad listeners. Yes, you heard it here on Salad News Bits. Now then, yes, we hope you enjoyed those news items. So man has been the first person to have a 3D printed prosthetic eye implanted. What do you think, salad listeners? A prosthetic eye, but a 3D printer. It's incredible what you can do with a 3D printer these days. Does anyone have a 3D printer? Okay. So, I mean, and you know, how that technology can, you know, improve and advance in the future? It's limitless. And of course, we sort about our antique collector who got caught 40 years later. Now then, I went to jail for one day. Okay, salad listeners, so what do we have left before we go for a short break? Of course, we have to look at our conundrum. As you know, we like to start with a conundrum. Let's have a little look. What was our conundrum? Well, it was, let's refresh. I just found blank that my boss has been laid blank. What do you think? So these are two prepositions. So we're looking for something that makes sense, something that's logical within the context. What do you think? So I just found blank that my boss has been laid blank. Okay. I just found out that my boss has been laid off. That's our answer for today. I just found out that my boss has been laid off. So to find out, enterarse. I found out yesterday. In fact, to find out has two meanings, enterarse o averiguar. So I found out yesterday, me enteré ayer, que, okay. Or we need to find out why, tenemos que averiguar. Okay, so it has those two meanings. So a very useful verb to have in your artillery, in your active English, to find out. Okay, enterarse o averiguar. So I just found out, justo me enterado, o me acabo de enterar, I just found out that my boss has been laid off. Okay. What does it mean to be laid off? So to lay off is to be dismissed. Okay? That's right. To be laid off. You're laid off. I guess it's more... I mean, you can say to sack or fire. Mene chao, I've been sacked. That's right, I've been fired. Okay? But it's more formal to say to dismiss someone. However, to be laid off, you can also say, or to be made redundant. There are many ways we can say this in English. To be sacked, to be fired, to be dismissed, to be laid off, to be made redundant. Now, quite often with the verb to lay off, it's more used en masse. So if a factory closes down, 100 people have been laid off. So, so like despedir en masa, something like to be laid off. But, you can also use it in this case. So I just found out that my boss has been laid off. That's our first conundrum. We'll have another one coming up after a short break. Don't forget, another conundrum for you. We have Grammar Point. Alan Parsons will be here for the remainder of the program, for the whole second half. We also have Question Time, Salad listeners. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Salad.
Si los profesionales de su empresa no comunican eficazmente en inglés, su empresa no necesita clases de inglés. Su empresa necesita una solución y la necesita urgentemente. Muchas son las empresas españolas que despilfarran el dinero contratando clases de inglés a diestro y siniestro. Café para todos y resultados para nadie. Dominar el inglés requiere enfoque, esfuerzo y un plan. En Baugen Empresas tenemos un plan. Un plan hecho a medida para su empresa. No nos interesa vender clases. Nos interesa conseguir soluciones. Y para ello, tenemos un apasionado equipo de profesores formados meticulosamente en el método Vaughan. Llama al 911-335831. 911-335831. Su empresa necesita una solución y la necesita urgentemente.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura 3 meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at GrupoVaughan.com.
Sin prisa pero sin pausa. This is the Spanish expression that I use when people ask me what they should do with their children concerning English. Sin prisa pero sin pausa. The target date for English mastery is age 23. Children and adolescents don't need English, really, until they reach adulthood, until they finish their studies and start looking for their first job. This is usually at the age of 23. If they don't know English well at this point, they are in trouble. They have a problem, an important problem. If they don't know English well at the age of 23, when they enter the labor market, they will probably never reach a decent level, a good working level of English. So, as a mother or father, you need to make sure that your children gain a good command of English by the age of 23 at the latest. This means that when the child is born, you have 23 years to solve the problem. Are you capable of solving a problem if you have a 23-year window to solve it? I hope so. Here in Vaughan Systems, we provide kids, children, with dynamic verbal access to English starting at the age of 4. We expose the children to the native sound of the language, and we work especially hard to promote effective listening comprehension and to make the language fun and attractive for the children. Entrust your children to us, little by little, slowly but surely, sin prisa pero sin pausa. We will transform them into bilingual adolescents and prepare them for age 23. Contact Vaughan Jr.
Más información sobre la línea Junior de Vaughan Systems en el teléfono 91-133-5832. 91-133-5832.
Y hasta aquí el Black Friday. En Vaughan te ofrecemos un 10% de descuento en nuestros cursos más destacados. Para más información, llama al 91-133-5833 o visítanos en nuestra web grupovaughan.com.
We're back again with the salad.
Now then, yes, let us begin again with another conundrum. Are you ready? So, I guess this is tricky. They've been tricky. Would you say they're tricky today or not? Well, let's have a look. I can't... Oh, let me see. I can't make... I'm just trying to think how many I should do here. It could be a double or triple whammy. Okay. Let's do it as a triple whammy. I can't make blank blank your birthday party. I have too much blank at the moment. So I can't make blank blank your birthday party. I have too much blank at the moment. I think this is quite tricky. So let me explain a little bit. So I can't make blank. The first blank is not a preposition. It's a pronoun. So I can't make blank, blank your birthday party. I have too much blank at the moment. But the second and third blanks are prepositions. I think it's important to get that in there, okay? So the first one is a pronoun. The second and third are prepositions. Let me just make that clear, okay? Either way, it's a good example to look at. We'll look at this at the end of the program. Break it down a little bit. Okay, so I can't make blank blank your birthday party. I have too much blank at the moment. Okay, so we'll reveal that at the end of the program. It's time for
Grammar Points!
Now then, yes, welcome to Grammar Point, the part of the program where we get serious with the world of English grammar. Okay, you ready to get serious, salad listeners? And we have a very serious man here. It's Alan Parsons. Hello, Alan.
Yes, hello, Dave. I don't think I'm that serious, but, you know, as I always say, grammar is a serious business. So, let's get ready.
Let's get ready to get serious. So what do you have for us today, Alan?
Right, a couple of things. So first of all, I want to practice with not quite as plus adjective plus as.
So not quite as plus adjective plus as. Okay. So what do you think, salad listeners? So no tan como. So, you know, no tan importante como, not as important as, not quite as important as, not quite as good as. You have an as comparison, tan como. We're using quite here. Okay? Just to give it a little bit of a nuance. Okay? That's right. So, it means, you know, no tan bueno. Okay? But with the nuance, el matiz de muy poco, por muy poco. It's not quite as good. So the new Marvel film is not quite as good as the last one. Okay? No es tan buena, pero por poco. Using quite in this case. Okay? Does that make sense? Well, let's practice with it. Let's work with some examples. So it's not quite as plus adjective plus as. Okay, Alan. I'll pass it over to you. This is the interactive part of the program, salad listeners. Let's do our best to translate this into perfect English. Okay, you ready?
Right. right. El examen no fue tan difícil como pensé que sería.
All right. So the exam wasn't quite as difficult as I thought it would be. Que pensé que sería. That's right. So the exam wasn't quite as difficult as I thought it would be. So it just adds an extra nuance, un matiz. Okay, good. So quite as, in this case, it's plus an adjective. In this case, it's difficult. Wasn't quite as difficult. Okay, are you ready for another one?
El museo no fue tan interesante como esperamos que sería.
So the museum wasn't quite as interesting as we expected it would be. The museum wasn't quite as interesting as we expected it would be. So this is interesting. I would say this is high level, would you think?
High level!
Adding this little, little nuance, matif. So even with an as comparison, people quite often forget about that. No es tan interesante como. Not as interesting, but not quite as interesting. Por poco. Okay, good. Let's have another one. Keep doing your best to translate these into perfect English, salad listeners.
Mi casa no es tan grande como la de mi hermana.
Okay, so my house isn't... I mean, a typical translation, my house isn't as big, con mi hermana, as my sister's. But por poco, we can say, my house isn't quite as big as my sister's. Okay?
That's right, Dave. We have two more left on this section. La comida en este restaurante indio no es tan picante como restaurante... en el que estuvimos ayer.
I see. So, well, the food in this Indian restaurant isn't tan picante, quite as spicy as the one we were in yesterday. So it's like back-to-back Indians in one day and the next day. Okay. Spicy food 2 days running. The food in this Indian restaurant isn't quite as spicy as the restaurant we were in yesterday. I would probably say in the restaurant we were at yesterday, I prefer. Okay? Good to be, you mean in a restaurant in real time, but yesterday we were at a restaurant. I prefer it that way. Okay? So quite as spicy. It isn't quite as spicy. No tan picante, pero por poco. Quite. Let's have one more here.
Febrero no es tan frío como enero.
Well, February isn't quite as cold as January. What do you think, salad listeners? February isn't quite as cold as January. What do you think? So very interesting, Alan. So, we have an as comparison. For example, typical thing, and often people forget about an as comparison. Tan como. So the typical thing here would be February isn't as cold as January. February no es tan frío como enero. It isn't as cold as January. But using quite, we're adding that extra nuance, ese matiz. Por muy poco. So February isn't quite as cold as January. Okay? Very, very useful because quite often it's the little nuances that make a big difference. So we saw the exam wasn't quite as difficult as I thought it would be. The museum wasn't quite as interesting as we expected it to be. My house isn't quite as big as my sister's. Again, por muy poco. The food in this Indian restaurant isn't quite as spicy as the restaurant we were at yesterday. And finally, we saw February isn't quite as cold as January.
Yes, that's right. So as you said, Dave, it's all about nuance, matices. So yeah, I have a couple of other things, but I think we'll have to save those for another day because we also have question time coming up, don't we?
Yes, so I would like you to stay around, so thanks for that. So not quite as plus adjective plus as, very useful. Try and get that into your active English. It's true, I want you to stay because we also want to practice the interrogative. This has been Grammar Points. Question time. Now, if you're a regular Vaughan Radio listener, you'll know that we're obsessed with question formation here at Vaughan, asking good questions, you know, because people often, you know, don't use auxiliary verbs or, you know, start with a preposition. With who you work. No, but who do you work with? So it's very, very important to practice question formation. In fact, I think we understand the English language through asking questions. So we've asked Alan to stay here because he's our man, our grammar expert. And, well, he has a little question exercise to practice. Are you still there, Alan?
Yes, that's right, Dave. Of course, you asked me to stay, so it's my pleasure to stay around, or stick around, as we can say.
Ah, to stick around. Can I say it's your pleasure to stick around. It's our pleasure to have you here. Now then, what are we practicing? What exercise?
I think you know, Dave, it's our favourite exercise, and in my opinion, the best way to practice your English and improve your English and review your English also. It's mastering the interrogative.
Mastering the interrogative, salad listeners. Now then, I think we're killing two birds with one stone, aren't we?
Well, we could say that we're killing three birds with one stone in this case. So I want to practice the verbs to take, tardar, and to last, durar, and also practice the interrogative.
Ah, so we're killing three birds with one stone. Estamos matando tres pájaros con una piedra, as we would say in English. Normally it's two birds with one stone. In this case, it's three. We're practicing the interrogative, of course, the verb to take, tardar, and the verb to last, durar. Are you ready, salad listeners? This is the interactive part of the program where Alan's going to give us the answer. We have to tell him what the question is. We're looking for good grammar, good intonation, and good phonetics. Are you ready? Okay. Over to you, Alan, for our first answer.
Right, okay. Here we go. It took an hour to prepare.
It took an hour to prepare. Okay. What do you think, salad listeners? ¿Cuánto tiempo? ¿Cuánto se tardó? Okay, so how long did it take to prepare? So again, with the verb to take as in tardar, people make a lot of mistakes. So it's it. Okay, it's the time it takes. El tiempo que se lleva. It's the time it takes to do something. So how long? In this case, it's in the past. So it took an hour to prepare. Okay. How long did it take to prepare? Okay. So we're just getting warmed up. Are you ready for another one?
The meeting lasted 3 hours.
The meeting lasted 3 hours. Okay. What do you think? So last durar. So how long did the meeting last? So I recommend having the question word, like, how long in this case. So how long, with a pause, how long did the meeting last? How long did it take to prepare? Good intonation is very important. Okay, so to last, durar. Again, people forget about the verb durar. They tend to say, I spend a lot of time. Spend can also, people use that for the verb to take. It takes me, you know, I spend an hour getting to work. It takes me an hour to get to work. Okay. Durar, to last. Okay, let's keep going.
It takes him 10 minutes to get to work.
It takes him. So it takes him, it takes him, we're not using the H there, it takes him 10 minutes to get to work. What do you think? So duration of time, how long? How long does it take him to get to work? So good grammar, good intonation and good phonetics. Does it take him? Not does it take him, does it take him? So the H there will be silent. So how long, pause, does it take him, pause, to get to work? Emphasis at the end. So how long at the beginning and work at the end for, you know, intonation. So how long does it take him to get to work? Good grammar, good intonation, good phonetics. That's the key. Let's have another one.
The concert will last around 2 hours.
So how long will the concert last? How long will the concert last? Durar, to last.
It's taken 4 years to plan.
Okay, so it's taken. It has taken. Okay. Se ha tardado. It's taken. No, so, again, that contraction, it's can be it is, it's, or it has. So it's taken 4 years to plan. What do you think? How long has it taken to plan? How long has it taken to plan? That's right. Okay, you're interacting with us here, salad listeners. Let's go. Let's have another one.
The program usually lasts half an hour.
Okay, the program usually lasts half an hour. How long does the program usually last? Hear the intonation there. So how long does the program usually last?
It takes a long time to master the interrogative.
What do you think? It takes a long time to master the interrogative. So how long does it take to master the interrogative? Good. Next.
The strike's going to last until next Friday.
The strike, la huelga. The strike. So the strike is going to last. Va a durar. Hasta. So the strike's going to last until next Wednesday. What do you think? So how long is the strike going to last? How long is the strike going to last? That's right. This is question time. Now then, we're practicing here with the interrogative, but also the verb to take and the verb to last, okay? We're halfway through. We've had round one, asalto uno. Here comes round two, asalto dos. Are you ready? Keep practicing with us here. Keep interacting with us here. Let's have another one, Alan.
It'll take a few weeks to fully recover.
It'll take is the contraction of it will, it'll, ital. Ital, ital, ital. It'll take a few weeks to recover. How long will it take to recover? How long will it take to recover? Hear the intonation there. Intonation is key when we're speaking, of course. Let's have another one.
The play lasted for 3 hours.
The play. Now, not the game in this case. It's the play. It's una obra de teatro. A play. A game could be un juego. Well, it depends a little bit, but, you know, a play is una obra de teatro. So the play lasted for 3 hours. So how long did the play last? How long did the play last? Good. Okay, you're practicing here. You're saying this aloud. Say these aloud and proud. Let's keep going.
It took them a week to get to South Africa.
It took them a week to get to South Africa. Okay. What do you think? Tardaron una semana en llegar a Sudáfrica. No, it took them a week. So how long did it take them to get to South Africa? To get is llegar, to get. Okay. So how long did it take them to get to South Africa? So the verb to take, people often make mistakes. So it's the it. Did it take them to get to South Africa? Okay. Okay, let's keep going.
His speeches usually last about an hour.
His speeches, sus discursos, suelen durar, usually last about an hour. So a speech or un discurso. So how long, in this case his speeches is plural, how long do his speeches usually last? How long do his speeches usually last? Now, do his speeches, do his speeches, I would say. How long do his speeches usually last? So the kind of his, certainly the H is completely silent. So how long do his speeches usually last? That's the phonetics. They were linking everything together. Okay, we have four examples left. Nos quedan cuatro.
It's taken her a week to respond.
It's taken her. Okay, se ha tardado. It has taken her. Se ha tardado. Okay, o ha tardado, ¿no? Ha tardado una semana en responder. So how long has it taken her to respond? How long has it taken her to respond? It's taken her a week with the contraction there, okay?
The new film lasts over 2 hours.
Okay. So the new film lasts 2 hours. How long does the new film last? How long does the new film last? Ah, the intonation. That's right. Okay, we have two left. Let's have the penultimate example. Okay, only two more. Keep working with us here, salad listeners. Keep interacting with us here.
It'll take over a week to finish decorating the flat.
So it will take, that's right, se tardará, it will take over a week to finish decorating the flat, el piso, the flats. What do you think? So it'll, the contraction there, it'll take. How long will it take to finish decorating the flat? So start and finish plus gerund. How long will it take to finish decorating the flat? That's right. And we have one left. Salad listeners, the last one. Are you ready? So give us the perfect question with good grammar, good intonation, and good phonetics to go out on a high note. Let's have it, Alan.
The conference lasted for 4 days.
The conference lasted for 4 days? What's the question, salad listeners? How long did the conference last? Okay, with good grammar, good intonation, good phonetics. How long did the conference last? Okay, that's right, salad listeners. Woo-hoo! Thanks very much, Alan. As I said, you know, good grammar, good intonation, good phonetics, that's the key. So thanks again, Alan, for being here for this half an hour. And, of course, we'll see you again soon, of course, Alan. And this has been Grammar Point. No, it hasn't. We've had Grammar Point. We've also had Question Time, of course. Okay, I'm getting mixed up here, getting confused. We've had Alan here for Grammar Point. We've also had him for Question Time. We're spoilt, mimados. We're spoilt. That's right, having him for such a long time. Now, salad listeners, before we go, let's have a look at our conundrum. Okay, let me see. Ah, yes. So, I can't make blank blank your birthday party. I have too much blank at the moment. Actually, we could have said, I have too much blank blank the moment. It could have been a quadruple whammy. So I can't make it to your birthday party. I have too much on at the moment. This is tricky. Because to make it to an event is poder estar, poder ir, poder. No puedo. I can't make it. So my students, my David, I can't make it to class next week. Can you email me the content? Okay? So to make it to is poder estar. Okay? En un evento o una clase, whatever it might be. Okay? In this case, it's a birthday party. So I can't make it to your birthday party. I have too much on at the moment. So if you're too busy, you have a lot on. I have a lot on at the moment. Tengo, I suppose you say, tengo mucho encima, maybe. Well, I guess that's what you would say. Es que tengo tanto encima. So if you have a lot on, you're very busy. You have a lot of things on, a lot of things going on. Okay? So yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't call you yesterday. I had so much on, I didn't have time to call you. Okay? So it's pretty tricky, I would say. Pretty high level.
High level!
It's a high level conundrum.
High level conundrum!
So it was, I can't make it to your birthday party. I have too much on at the moment, salad listeners. Again, an excellent conundrum. These are very good to practice with. Now, remember, I always put these conundrums on Twitter, you know, after the programs we do. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's Dave Boys Music. Okay? Dave Boys Music. Dave Boys Music. And, you know, you can have a look at those conundrums. Now it's time for us to go. I can see Kyle Miller coming here for the Drive Time show. Yes, he's flexing his muscles. He'll be right here. Don't go away.
Nuestro curso online es único por una sencilla razón. Nuestros profesores son los mejores del mercado. Richard Vaughan, Ximena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso, Richard Brown, nuestros All Stars desde cualquier lugar. Por menos de 30 céntimos al día. Quédate en casa y aprovecha para poner en forma tu inglés. Entra en la web cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com e infórmate. Pruébalo durante 2 semanas y si no te gusta, te devolvemos el dinero. cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com, porque hay muchos. Pero solo uno de Vaughan.
¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTVE a la carta.